This is After the Gridiron, a podcast featuring interviews with retired football players. Thank you for tuning into the show. Before we get to the episode, please make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Today, another player shares his incredible football journey with us and talks about his life after the gridiron. You're going to love it. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of After the Gridiron. I'm your host, Lyle Green, and today we have another great guest lineup for you, one of the all-time great running backs in NFL history, part of the 10,000 yard club, Otis Anderson. So Otis played 14 seasons. Yes, 14, I said that correct, in the NFL, seven with the St. Louis Cardinals and seven with the New York Giants, the G-Men. He was a first-round pick in the 1979 draft, eighth overall in that draft, out of the University of Miami, where he was a first-team All-American. So obviously a player there at the University, at the U, as they call it. In the NFL, he was tons of accolades here. Offensive Rookie of the Year in 1979, his first year in. He was a two-time Pro Bowler, a two-time Super Bowl champion, in winning Super Bowl 21 and Super Bowl 25. Super Bowl 25, he was also Super Bowl MVP, right, in that remarkable game against the Buffalo Bills, that big upset that people always talk about. And he's also been the Comeback Player of the Year, so obviously an amazing NFL career. And now after football, he is a patient ambassador for Novodisc, sorry. And he's also involved with another great company called Tridelix. So check them out at tridelix.com. They are a five-dimensional imagery company that makes some amazing things there. So Otis, thank you for coming on and welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thank you. Not too bad of an intro. Pretty good. Also, you probably didn't tell him I'm part of a 10,000-yard club member, but, you know, that's all good.
Yeah, Zach.
So, not a problem.
So starting off, I usually start off by asking my guests to say something about themselves that most people don't know. So what would that be for you? What's something about you that most people don't know about you?
That's a good one. How do I say? Well, most people are very charitable, so that's, and then people know I love golf, so most people know I'm religious, so that's, don't know I don't drink, I don't smoke, don't that's do good. Drugs. So, what do people don't know about
me? You're an open book, then.
What do people don't know about me? Let's see. What they don't know about me? Most people know I'm scared of snakes, but and spiders, and you know, but.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Okay. Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So you're not the one killing the spiders in the house, then?
Yeah, I'm not a good man. If there's a spider in the house, I'm not the one you call.
You're out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's go back to the beginning. Talk about how you got started in football. I'm sure you played lots of sports growing up as a kid, so talk about your starting in sports.
Well, I started playing Little League football, recreation football that was being held at the local parks. And I did a lot of what they call sandlot football, where you just go out and play with your friends in the sand pit or in the parking lot or wherever you see land, and you can throw a football around. That's what we played at. So yeah, so I started you know, playing organized football right around fifth and sixth grade, and then I just kept playing it all the way through junior high school, college, and you know, and then eventually got to the pros.
Nice. And did you play other sports growing up as well?
I tried baseball, but I was afraid of the curveball, so that didn't last long.
Many people are.
Yeah, it just looked like they're going to hit me, and I say, if you do, I'm charging a mound. So need to say that was a short career. I did basketball, and I did basketball because my coaches, when I was in high school, told me that it would work on my quickness. And my agility. So I end up playing basketball and end up being most valuable player on my team in basketball and top rebounder on my team on my senior year. So your boy had some ups. So I could get up and and I can cover. So,
okay.
Look, you know, you notice I didn't say I was leading in scoring, right? So I was
no.
I was definitely a bricklayer when it came to shooting. But
So I think,
I was a board cleaner, and I would
yeah,
play defense
and the dunker.
against the best always. Yeah.
Nice. So I guess football was definitely your best sports growing up then.
Yeah, and fortunate for me, I didn't have to try other positions because I don't think I would excel at those other positions. Yeah, I was fortunate enough that my school and the way I came up, you know, we had enough players. I only played one position. I played offense all my whole upbringing. I mean, I played on defense, but I played it because I played it. But when I got to organized sports where we had enough players, I just basically played running back. And if they did put me on defense, they put me back at safety because they know that I wasn't going to hit anybody. So that was very easy. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Easy to put you back there.
Yeah.
Okay, so
catch the guys if they break loose because you're not going to come up and make a tackle now. I'm not going to come up and make a stick now.
Yeah. You'll run them down if they get too far
Exactly.
away.
That was good for me. Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Okay, cool. So, yeah, so talk about going to the U, as they call it now. I'm not sure if they called it that back then, but who came up with that? But yeah, talk about your recruiting process and going to and choosing Miami over other schools.
Well, I had pretty much all the schools in the state of Florida interested in me. I was a mother's boy, and I didn't want to go too far away from home. And Miami seemed to be the
Okay.
perfect place because it was only an hour and 30-minute drive from where my mom and my siblings lived to get to the football game every Saturday.
Nice.
So it was a no-brainer for me to just stay close to my mom. It made more sense to
Nice.
do it that way. And then also during my recruiting part of it, the athletic director, which was a head coach, Pete Elliott, had mentioned if I did come to Miami, I would start as a freshman, and I was the only running back they were recruiting. And need to say that
Oh,
that's not
nice.
true. Don't ever buy into that story that you're the only running back. I get to Miami, we got like 15 different running backs down there, so.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
Yeah,
I
yeah.
bought into it because I was naive. I was from the projects of West Palm Beach, and you know, if you'd have told me that an ant is pulling the train, I would have told everybody else. You better come watch.
You
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. So who else was kind of looking at you? Was there anyone that you thought of
Well, you know, I
maybe
like I said,
partially
I had
to go?
Florida State,
Okay.
let's see, Florida A&M. All the state schools were interested.
Yeah.
I got inquiries from Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Nebraska. I had all the Big Ten schools back in the day that was interested in me, but I wasn't
Yeah.
going that far from home. I mean, it didn't make sense. You know, why go way out there when I could just go right down the street and not only that, get a fine education? And at that time, Miami program wasn't great. That's why it was called University of Miami. So we weren't that great,
Yeah.
but we were known for putting players into the pros or giving players an opportunity to go to the pros, you know, from George Mara to Eddie Edwards, Don Latimer, Don Smith, myself, Chuck Foreman, Reuben Carter. We had a list of players that had come before me that had done
Yeah.
well. And because Miami was independent, they played all the top schools they wanted to play, that would
Oh, they're independent back
be able
then?
to independent that would want to play against us.
Okay.
So,
Yeah.
you know, we even though we were everyone's homecoming, but we still was, you know, playing those. You know, we played the likes of Nebraska, Oklahoma. I'm sorry, Nebraska, Alabama, Navy, Colorado, Penn State. Who else we played? I said Ohio, Nebraska, Alabama, Navy.
So a lot of the top
Then we had the
schools.
top schools like Florida State, you know, University of Florida.
Yeah.
So yeah, we you know, we locked it up with the best. And that's one thing that Miami did do well, that if you went to that school and if you did halfway decent because of the team that we were playing, which was all like national championship teams. So you got looked at. I mean,
yeah.
You know, look, my freshman year, we played Oklahoma, where they had Joe Washington, Elvis Peacock, the Selman brothers, and, you know, we had that. And then one year we played Nebraska, and they had the Outland Trophy winner, Reuben Glover. We played that, then he was there. Yeah, and then we had another guy, the Brattle brothers, who played at Notre Dame that was top draft pick. So we got our hands dirty. And again, if you played well against those big schools, you know, you got noticed. And I think that's what happened to me, was that, you know, although my even though I played as a freshman, I played out of position, I played fullback, but I was in every game and people saw me. And then my sophomore year, they put me to tailback, and I almost broke the single season rushing record as a sophomore, which was held by Chuck Foreman, which I later on broke my senior year.
You broke it later. Yeah. Nice. So talk about, competing at Miami and growing as a player. As you said, you started out at fullback, and to talk about that and finally getting your chance to be a tailback and all the accolades you were able to achieve after that. So talk about your mentality throughout your college career and your thinking.
Well,
you know, trying to.
Well, you know, I came from Forest Hill High School in West Palm Beach as a tailback. And you know, I mostly ran the football, caught the football. Blocking was not something that I had to do. I understood it, but never had to do it. And when I got to Miami, after the second or the third practice, the head coach, who actually was recruiting me at the time, he was offensive line coach. And as I said, the head coach, which was Pete Elliott, resigned from head coach and went into becoming the athletic director. And then my position coach, who was recruiting me, became the head coach. So after, after three practices, he felt that I could go to varsity. But he didn't put me at tailback, and I'm assuming he didn't put me at tailback because we had some senior running backs that was ahead of me that earned that position, and he figured that you know, being a fullback would give me a learning opportunity. But you know, I ended up starting after the third game of the season. I started for the rest of the season at fullback, and actually led the team in rushing as a fullback with no more than about no more than about 30 carries and about over 300 yards. I think something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. I was not a good blocker. Trust me on that one.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was getting blowed up every time.
So that year of that was meant to be a learning experience. You didn't really learn too much in terms of blocking, I guess.
Yeah, what I learned is that when you're 185, 90 pounds running against linebackers who are 230, 225, 250, ain't a lot to learn other than don't follow me in the hole.
Exactly. Yeah, find another route to the end zone.
Yeah, quickly.
Yeah. Okay, so eventually the coaches wised up and put you where you should have been, which is the tailback position, and you excelled there. And as you mentioned, your senior year, you broke the team's rushing record. So talk about that senior year and how that went for you.
Well, fortunate for me, after 2 years of my coach that recruited me, that University of Miami got rid of him because we were 2-8. And then we were 2-8 the second 2 years, and then they got rid of him, and they brought in Luke Saban, who was the Buffalo Bills head coach. Mm-hmm. And when he saw me, he said that I remind him a lot of O.J. Simpson's, a lot of qualities that I had, and that if I listen to him and follow his lead, that I'll eventually be an outstanding pro. And a master of knowing talent, because he called it correct.
He's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coach. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely having the right coaches and having coaches that believe in you is a huge part of sports for sure. So you're able to find a coach that believed in you and gave the opportunity, and you took advantage of that opportunity that once you got it.
Maximize it. Yes, sir.
Very good, very good. So, yeah, let's talk about going to the NFL now. So, you're obviously first round pick in 79. So, just talk about that experience and how that went for you. I'm not sure if they brought players to New York back then or how it worked, but yeah, talk about your draft experience.
Well, actually, Ray Perkins was the head coach at the Giants, when I was coming out of college, and they had the seventh pick in the first round, he came to Miami and talked to me and actually made a commitment to me that I would be selected seventh in the first round because they were looking for someone of my caliber to build a program around. And so when I got a call from the Cardinals, I met with them on a Friday night. And then that Sunday I got a call around about noontime from St. Louis Cardinals player personnel Larry Wilson, and he was telling me that they was drafting eighth in the first round and they were looking to draft me. And I assured them that I wouldn't be available because I was committed to going to the Giants.
The Giants, yeah.
And and need to say, I'm quite sure me and others been wrong about where we thought we were going. And we end up there, but that's not where we thought we were going. And come draft day, I was surprised when the Giants picked Phil Simms and not me because they kind of assured me that I would be picked. So when the Cardinals picked me next, I was surprised, but then again, I was happy. And I said, when they drafted me, I always wanted to be a Cardinal. So, yeah, so it
Exactly
was,
where you thought you'd be. So yeah,
yeah,
funny
so
how you end up with the Giants years later, but that you end
I
up
know,
playing with
right?
Phil.
Right on time too, you know? I mean, listen, I was committed to be the all-time leading rusher in the history of the NFL. That's what my goal was. When I realized that I'm probably never going to play in the Super Bowl, so that's all I was trying to do. I mean, I literally almost had 8,000 yards in 6 years, and had a strike in between those years and got hurt, and twice got hurt and missed 9 games 1 year in 85 and got hurt and had a strike season, a stop of workage in 82. If not, I probably had close to 10,000 yards.
Even higher.
Yeah, I was on my way for and on my way to another 1,000 yard season in 82 before we stopped work. And then in 85 I was on my way to another 1,000 yard season when I got injured. So yeah, I would probably have had probably 10,000 yards in 7 seasons, at least 10 or more.
Yeah, if it weren't for those situations. So, talk about before we get into further down your career, talk about your first day in the NFL. So I'm guessing it was always a dream for you to be a professional. So talk about what it felt like to finally put on a jersey for you in the.
What was surprising to me, again, at Miami you played all the top schools, so you saw guys who were when I was a freshman, I saw those guys get drafted, and then as I moved up, I felt that I was getting better, and then by the time I got to be a senior, I thought I had it all figured out, but I wasn't sure how high I would be drafted. I thought maybe based on what agents were telling me that I'd probably be a third, fourth round draft pick along those lines, and the Super Bowl was in Miami at the Orange Bowl, and it was the Dolphins versus, I mean, I'm sorry, it was the Steelers versus the Cowboys, and I had the distinct pleasure of picking up the Cowboys families and player and media people,
I guess.
and had the
Oh, really?
same
How did
thing.
that happen?
Well, I was a senior, so I had no eligibility, and I could do that because I was graduating. So, and plus, I wasn't putting the school in jeopardy because I had no more eligibility.
Yeah, you're already done.
Actually, Lou Saban probably had a lot to do with that because he kind of recommended that I do that. But I think what Lou Saban wanted me to get out of that lesson was to see just how committed you have to be in order to be successful, and you need to see how big the people you're going to be playing against when you become a pro. And need to say, when I picked up the Cowboys family members, and then I picked up, oh gosh, who was it? He was well known
The Steve.
scout for the Cowboys.
For the
I could see
Cowboys.
I could see his face and name. Well known. But I remember picking him up and taking walking into the lobby of the Cowboys, and I saw Harvey Martin, Tutone Jones, Robert Newhouse,
Oh, wow.
and others, and I looked at my little size, and I looked at them, and I went home that Friday and called my mom and said, "Hey, mom, I'm gonna just tell you right now, them dreams of me playing in the NFL, I don't think that's gonna happen."
Oh, really?
And then the next day,
The
I go pick up the Steelers family members, and I come in their lobby, and I see Elsie Greenwood, Dwight White, Joe Green. And when I saw Mel Blount, I thought Mel Blount was a wide receiver, not knowing that he was a defensive back at 6'5". And then I saw Danny Shell, and I saw Jack Lambert and Jack Ham. I'm like, and then I go back home again. I saw Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer. I go back home again, and I tell my mom, I say, "Listen, I just picked up the Steeler family members, and I'm telling you right now, remember you say the Army, Air Force, and the Navy was a good choice. I'm looking and leaning toward that becoming that, because there's no way I'm playing professional football. Hey, these guys just towered over
Just
me.
too big.
You know, I
Yeah.
mean, I came out of Miami. I was 215 pounds. I went in there 185.
Really? Oh, wow.
So I did put on muscles and weight, but not to the extent
To
of
that
looking at
extent,
those big
yeah.
guys. My gosh! And guess what? First two games out the box was the Cowboys
Cowboys and Steelers?
and the Steelers, and
No way.
I got 193 against the Cowboys, and I got I think 100 and something against the Steelers. So
Oh, wow. So
my
you balled out.
introduction, yeah, I big time baller, but yes, sir.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
Nice.
yeah, yeah. That
So, yeah.
rookie season, I rushed for over 1,600 yards. The first time that a running back in the history of the NFL averaged 100 yards per game against the Cowboys back in the day, because that was
Yeah.
never heard of. And
Yeah.
also, I lost the rushing title to the late Walter Payton by 5 yards.
5 yards. Oh,
Yeah, he 1610, 1605.
wow. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah,
So,
that's.
yeah. So, not too shabby.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, obviously, that's why you obviously won the Offensive Rookie of the Year that year with an
Yes,
amazing,
sir.
amazing
Yep.
start to your season, like to your career, sorry,
Yeah.
like that. So, that's awesome. Okay, so let's talk about your Super Bowls, right? So, like I mentioned, you've won two Super Bowl titles and were Super Bowl MVP in Super Bowl 25. So, yeah, talk about your experience in the biggest game on the biggest stage.
Well, in 86, which is where it started at, I was traded from the Cardinals to the Giants, and at the time the Giants were one in, I mean the Cardinals was 1-4 and the Giants were 4-1. So I tell people I went from the outhouse to the penthouse,
But
you
yeah.
know. And those guys, you know, they knew how to win. You had George Martin, you had Harry Carson, you had Sims leading them. You know, Lawrence was a part of it. They just had a will that was so strong and so tenacious that all you had to do was just don't get in the way and screw it up. And that's basically
Yeah.
what I did when I got there, because one of the things that Parcells said to me when he went and traded for me, he said, "You know, we got Joe Mars, but I just need an insurance policy just for that, and also I need a little more help in the fullback position." So I learned both positions in 86, so that I'll be in a position to play if something happened. And Joe had
Yeah.
one of the best seasons of his career, rushed for over 1,500 yards that year, and clearly was an intimate tool for us winning those games and also doing well in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I was more the spectator. You know,
For that
I just
first
watched
one.
them. Yeah, the first I just watched them do their thing, and then the second one was a prediction that I made when I came out of Miami my freshman year, I mean, my rookie year. My roommate was Kenny Johnson, who also was drafted by the Giants
Yeah.
in the late round, and I told him if I played in the state of Florida, and I was a feature running back. I win most valuable player, and 12 years later,
No way. He
it
came
came
through it.
true. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yep.
If that happened today, you would have had the tweet. You could have showed that, hey, I tweeted it back then. And here it is, yeah,
Yeah,
coming
yeah,
true. Yeah,
yeah.
that's awesome. So talk
Well,
about.
you know, it was real, but it was real that I've been saying it for years. I mean, that, you know, if I did it, you know,
Yeah.
so it wasn't like, you know, out of
It wasn't
context when
secret.
I said
Yeah,
it.
yeah. Everybody around you knew that you said that and we were gonna do it, and you were able to do it. So yeah, talk about that game and being able to pull off that upset. And no, you guys weren't the favorite in that game. I think Buffalo's favorite. So talk about.
Well, you know, to our dismay, thank God we didn't have that week in between like most teams were doing back then. So we went straight from San Francisco straight into Tampa. So we didn't have that typical routine interruption where that you get that whole week to
Oh, that year
celebrate
was
and.
just the one
Yeah,
week after. Okay.
that was one of the first times that they went
Championship
from
game straight to the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl, right?
Okay.
And I always tell people, had we had that extra week, I don't think we would have beat Buffalo. I tell people,
Oh, really?
if we played Buffalo 100 times, we probably win that one game.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to be good all the time; you had to be good that day, and that's all. We weren't good that one particular time.
Yeah.
And what was good about us was, we had played Buffalo earlier during the year when they knocked Sims out, and then Rodney got hurt. And me and Hostetler
Yeah.
came in, and we finished the game. So they had a taste, you know, of who we were.
Yeah.
But in their eyes, once they saw the playoff game and they saw who we were, in their eyes, they figured I was too old, and Hostetler didn't have enough experience.
Yeah.
So how can we beat the mighty Buffalo Bills with Jim Kelly and that K-Gun
Key gun
offense that
offense.
was
Yeah.
notorious
Yeah.
for putting points on the board? So the only way you keep a good offense off the field, I mean, and keep a good offense off the field is having a good running attack your team.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We put a game plan together where we just use up the clock.
Yeah, you certainly did, and yeah, kept them off the field, and were able to win that amazing game. One of the most memorable Super Bowls, I think, for me, anyways, that I can remember, that game and
And one of the greatest
one of the
ever. I
greatest
don't
games
think
ever.
anybody's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All the other Super Bowl that you saw out there, they even if they scored, they were going to overtime. I was do or die. First time ever hearing sudden death. You win, and you make it, you win, you miss it, you
That's
lose.
it, yeah. Yeah, down
Yep.
the last play, yeah. So yeah,
Yep.
so quickly,
Wide right.
yeah, the wide right game, yeah. So talk about playing for Bill Parcells, obviously one of the all-time great coaches in the NFL. What was it like
Yeah,
playing for him?
Bill was very instrumental in my second phase of my career. I changed a lot of my running style to accommodate the position that I was playing
How
and to
so?
maximize my ability at that time. Yes.
How did you change your style? What do you mean by?
Well, early on, you know, remember I came out of Miami. I was running 4.4 in the 40, and so I was more of a scat back. But as I got older, I got a little bigger, a little heavier, and at that point in time, trying to look for home runs was not the best, you know, philosophy for me at that time.
Yeah.
So I just changed my thought process with, you know, process constantly telling me, you know, that I'm gonna lose my job. So that was incentive to continue to stay
To
within
adjust,
your means. And
yeah.
that's what I did. I stayed within my means, and it gave me a chance to play a total of 14 seasons.
Yeah.
But going back to Super Bowl 25, one thing you probably need to mention is that we had one of the greatest entertainers ever to sing the national anthem with Whitney
Whitney,
Houston.
yes.
I just had to throw that out there because the
That's
way she blasted that thing out, man, ain't nobody could come close to her at all.
exactly. That's what's
They've been trying.
yeah.
They've been trying, but it's like the NBA with Marvin Gaye when he did it. You
Exactly.
know, they've
Yeah.
been trying to
Trying
find
to mass
somebody, and
exactly.
you can't.
You
You
can't
know, you can't. So
replicate that at all. Exactly.
I'm glad I was a part of Whitney Houston. Her and I would be forever connected for life.
For that Super Bowl. Yeah, that's I guess one of the reasons
Yeah.
that's most memorable for me exactly was for that reason as well, because of her Super Bowl
Yeah.
rendition of the national anthem was
That's
hands
right.
down
That's right.
the greatest rendition of the anthem of all time for sure. Cool. So yeah, so thanks for reminding us of that. So yeah, so let's yeah, let's talk about transition to life after football. So you're now with the Novo Nordisk and oh, go ahead.
Let's just go back. So when I retired from football, I got involved with insurance. I guess that's
That was all your
a
first stint.
natural spin, but yeah, it's a natural spin. I found it for a lot of athletes because in my prior sport, you meet a lot of people and you become a people person.
Yeah.
And it's a great transition if you get involved with the insurance business because it's about people. And it gave me a good opportunity to home in on my people skills that I learned from, being in the NFL and being around a lot of people during the off season, doing a lot of events where you met a lot of CEOs and of these companies and presidents. So
Yeah.
it kind of gave you an end to trying to figure out what you want to do since there is really no life after football, especially during my era. We didn't have those big salaries that were,
That they have today. Yeah.
give you an opportunity to not have to worry about anything with life. But it is what it is. But yeah, it gave me a chance to, meet and continue to network with people. And I worked in that industry for over 15, almost 20 years. And
Oh,
then
wow. Okay.
everything I did, I always was involved with people. I got involved with a couple of memorabilia companies, Steiner Sports, All-American Collectible, where I was in charge of customer relations. So still sticking to dealing with people and crowds and things of that nature. And I did that for quite a few years. And within the last 5 years, I got involved with Novo Nordisk and Tridelix.
Yeah.
And then there's another company called Metro Exhibit, which is the main company. Tridelix is a spinoff from Metro Exhibit. And Metro Exhibit is a trade show company that builds booths at trade shows all over the country.
Okay.
And being that the industry is down because of COVID-19,
Yeah.
we spun our brains and came up with this new company, Tridelix, because we were dealing with a lot of plexiglass. So that's what we were doing. During the pandemic, was putting a lot of plexiglass in schools, hotels,
All right, yeah.
hospitals,
Yeah.
convenience stores, and then we came up with this product by playing around with plexiglass. So within the last 5 years, I've been involved with these companies. But prior to that, I was always doing something that was public with that was done with public relations. And I'm sorry, I take one other business to Veritex. I've been with Veritex for longer than I've been with any other two companies I mentioned.
Okay.
And because of Veritex, I was able to venture off into these other two businesses. My business partner, Mark Goldberg, is a top salesperson for Veritex, and that's a court reporting company. And
Okay.
we do a lot with depositions, and we work with a lot of lawyers, insurance guys. And again, sticking with my roots, as I say, people,
Yeah.
was a great transition for me with that business. And Mark Goldberg as my business partner, and also the guy who got me involved with Veritex, I was able to meet and be around those other two companies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So yeah, you were to transitioned into insurance, and I'm sure, like you mentioned, the salaries back then obviously weren't at the levels of the salaries that players are able to earn now. So it must have been much tougher transition for players to have to leave football and
Yeah,
to go.
it was,
Yeah.
and again, the player before us was having the same issue as well.
Yeah.
We just and then I didn't have one of the most genuine, generous owners when I came through, Mr. Bidwell.
Yeah.
He wasn't the most generous guy, but you know what? I guess he gave me what I earned. That was not what I was worth, but what I earned,
Yeah.
and I just thank him for that opportunity. And giving me a start in for my career. But you learn how to maximize contacts, and if you get a chance to get involved or learn a different trait. You know, I always tell you, nothing wrong to have more pelts in your belt than having one.
Yeah, exactly. Just like with sports, it's good. The more you do, the better it is for you. In terms of football,
Yes, sir.
same thing with in life as well. Yeah, the more you
Yeah.
can do, the more
Yeah.
skills and talents you learn,
Yeah.
the better you're
I
off.
mean, you know, I tried my hands at radio commentator. I did that for a year as well.
Oh,
And,
okay.
you know, I worked for FAN. You know, they gave me a start and I did okay, but you know, some stuff you just not for you. And I never got into coaching because I just didn't understand why coaches had to work those hours that they had when football is not that complicated. At least to my knowledge, it's not that complicated. You know, but I guess if you're being paid for 8 to 4 or 9 to 5, then you got to be there the whole time, whether you're, you know, into football, you know, that much. But I just didn't see it. I just didn't see it. So coaching was not something that I wanted to do. You know, quite naturally, I did it when I was at the Giants. I coached with Charlie Wise,
Okay.
who was Notre Dame coach. Yeah, me and Charlie. So I helped him with the running backs when he was at the Giants as our running back coach. So I was coach on the field, and he and I shared coaching knowledge in the classroom work. So, but to actually be a full-time coach like some of my former teammates, that wasn't for me. I didn't like football that way, that I needed to be around it.
For all those hours. Coaching is definitely a grind, and
it's a commitment.
It's a very
Yeah, it's a
very
commitment.
strong commitment. Having to put in the hours that they do is a lot. So that's the things you learn when when you're done. You find what you like and what you're naturally talented at. And even though you play, doesn't necessarily mean that you have to coach as well, which a lot of people think that, oh, because you played, you should obviously just go into coaching. But a lot of us have different talents
And
and
you know,
different likes. So,
and some players are not, some ex players ain't good coaches.
That too, exactly. Just do what I did. Just do what I did. Right? That doesn't work. You can't just say that, right? Okay, so talk more about
Tridelic.
Tridelics, and talk about this amazing,
Well,
because you're talking it up, because I'm definitely gonna check it out once you're done here. But talk more about what you're doing there.
Well, with Tridelic, basically what we've been able to do, because of the new technology, we've been able to take images of either, if we got high resolution, of either logos or pictures or gimmick sayings, and create that illusion of depth perception. And Tridelics bring you that look. When you think about 3D and how 3D look, and most of the time with 3D, it makes you look at the thing and you say, oh wow, that's 3D. But then when you look at Tridelics, you go like, wow, it's floating in the air. It's in a box. So your immediate thought is to try to reach in and see how deep the perception of it is.
Yeah.
And you notice that you go like, wow, wait a minute. And then you flip it around, because when you look at it, it seems like it's inside of a box. So you're looking for the extension or the extended part of the back of the picture.
Yeah,
where that's not, it's an eighth of an inch, and that's what gives us that 5D look that freaks people out. It's like that, you know, you see on television when you see those shows where people can like stick their hand through the other side. You know, when you want to go to the other side of the world, or when you want to be transported, you can just stick your hand through and your hand will be disappeared and the rest of your body will be still there until you step through it.
Yeah.
And that's what that 5D
does.
That's
what it feels like. Oh,
it
wow.
Like you can just look and make you feel like you can step through it and pull out the object that's that's being displayed in it, and it just freaked people out when they see it.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. I mean, it's so good, and that the NFL gave us license.
Oh wow! So you guys
produce
to produce NFL stuff?
Yeah, we licensed to produce logos and helmets for the NFL. It was I think it's our first year, second year with it. I think it's first year.
Yeah.
And we were so successful that we was on Home Shopping Network.
Oh wow!
We was able to display our product on Home Shopping Network.
That's pretty awesome.
And we got the interest of quite a few companies. Before we had the pandemic, we were actually talking to Nike about doing a product with Nike.
Yeah.
We were talking to Marvel Cartoons about doing some of their animated cartoon
their characters,
looks.
Yeah.
Yeah, their characters, and we're trying to deal with Disney.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so people see this technology and they freak out over it. And again, it's something that if you are a collector or someone that wants something different, you know, this is what
fits
this
that category.
Product does.
Yeah. Cool. So where can people get it? Like where is it available? Just
Absolutely.
Online?
Yeah. Well, you can, well, like I said, we sold the product through Home Shopping Network.
Oh, okay.
So if you look in the person, that's where you probably look at. We have not done what we call commercial selling yet, because we're only dealing with wholesales.
Okay.
Not to say that's not something we're going to try to do later
down
on. Maybe
road.
I don't know, but right now, because of the technology and how long it takes. You know, we don't print one onesies. You know what I'm saying?
You need bulk,
you know?
Yeah, bulk amounts.
Right, we bulk sell, so
yeah.
It won't do you no good if we're gonna just print one picture
one for
of
one.
You know, Lee.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. That
that's down the road.
Yeah, that messed up our whole day trying to create the image and all that, and we just gonna create one. No,
yeah,
it's not worth
that
time.
The economics on that is not worth it. Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So yeah, I'll definitely look to see for NFL gear at least. Probably first thing we'll see with NFL gear with the 5D, and then possibly with the Marvel and stuff like that down the road. Definitely look for that. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Yeah. All right. So let's finish off with what I call a top of the mountain moment. So kind of looking back on your football journey, the football portion of your life, and the highs and lows, all the great moments and the struggles that you've gone through. Is there is there a favorite moment or favorite play or some words of wisdom for younger players? Sorry, how would you like to finish things off?
Well, in every job or any business or any activity that you choose to take part in, there are going to be highs, there are going to be lows.
Yeah,
and you just try to minimize the lows and create more of the highs. But for every victory, there's a defeat. And to be a gracious winner, you have to understand and be as equal as the loser. But aim for the stars, and maybe you fall you fall on the moon.
Yeah.
But you gotta reach high.
Yeah.
So that's my advice.
Awesome. Yeah, reach
don't
for the stars.
Don't be afraid of failing.
Exactly.
And don't be afraid of reaching for the stars and land on the moon.
Exactly. Yeah. Great words there. Yeah. Don't be afraid of failure. Right? Failure is the catalyst to a lot of success in life. And yeah, if you don't try, mm-hmm. right, then you never know what can happen. So yeah, don't be afraid of failure and aim big, aim high. Yeah, aim for the stars. If you fall on the moon, that's still some great achievement. So.
That's all.
So thank you for that, and thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. Some great stories and great moments of going back to your career and all the great things you're doing now. So again, for those who are interested, make sure you check out the website, tridelix.com. You can see all the great things they're doing there with their five-dimensional imagery. And I'll have all his links to his social media, so you can follow him there as well on Twitter and Instagram and all that. So Otis, thank you so much and appreciate your time. Thank you for listening to After the Gridiron. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure you subscribe to the show and also leave a rating and review. By doing that, you also help to spread the word about the podcast and assist others in finding the show so more people can enjoy this great content. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, with the links to those being found on the website. Your support is very much appreciated. Also, please visit the resources page on the website for links to our sponsors and affiliates. Their support helps to keep the show running. So go to www.atgridiron.com/resources to check them out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you when we kick off our next episode.